What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts. All my girls at the party, look at that body, shaking that thing like you never did see. Got a nice package already. Edit.
4, 2.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
I'm not arguing that our package is the best, although I think we do have a very strong package to offer.
Dirt and Sprague.
We have the best package.
Every time I get excited.
Andy Dirt Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
I'm not fourth fiddle. I want to be number one.
It works.
Dirt and Sprague.
When you're about to get freaky at night, you think about it.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Friday, everybody. A lot to get to here in the second hour of the radio program as we roll on. Talk some NBA finals here. If you want to chime in with the radio show, you can at 503-864-6326. It's been a lot of shenanigans.
A lot of shenanigans on a Friday.
I don't know if I'm disappointing you. Sometimes you have a look of like, oh, this guy's just clowning around today. He's not getting anything serious. I wanted to debate the top eight of the preseason spring rankings.
Hey, what's the matter with you? I want to talk about backup left guard for Oregon. Who's it going to be?
What's his name?
I mean, we got to figure that out. That's big fall camp ahead. Who's getting that job?
Okay, last one, I promise. One of our listeners got 81-1.
Okay, who's the team?
How is this not 82? If there's ever an 82-0 team.
This is the 82-0 team.
Luka Doncic. Jerry West in the 60s.
Pretty good.
Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Johnson in the 80s.
Pretty good.
David Robinson in the 90s.
How is that 81-1?
How are you 81-1?
How is anybody beating that?
And not 82-0. I'd be filing a complaint.
Nobody's beating that team.
It's ridiculous.
Nobody.
That's what we did. We did 82andO.com for most of the first hour and found out that swag.
I'm a closet Artis Gilmore fan.
It's big news, dude.
Huge.
It's big news going into the weekend. I'm glad. Welcome to being the real you, swag. I'm glad that you can be out there and open about it.
It is your month, baby.
It is your
month.
Have
some pride about that Artis Gilmore thing.
Embrace it, okay?
Did you see the video that circulated of Charles Barkley walking the river walk and then shoulder pressing a random restaurant chair?
No.
So there's a video.
They sent him out on the streets in San Antonio.
Well, he's walking by himself. I don't know if I got butt cracked and this is like a 10-year-old video, but there's a video of Barkley, what looks like Barkley right now. He's walking along the river walk. Nobody's with him, and it looks like it's still like kind of early in the day, so there's restaurants aren't like popping.
Yeah, he's underneath a bridge lifting a chair up in the air.
They film him walking by himself,
good,
and then they
Chuck,
film him
dude.
Under a bridge.
Good for Chuck.
And he grabs one of the restaurant chairs, and he just starts shoulder pressing the restaurant chair.
It looks like a real video, and he looks like he's lost a lot of weight.
Oh, he's on Ozempic.
Yeah, last handful of years, he's dropped a lot of pounds.
Or GLP-1, whatever the company's using.
Whatever, dude. Hey, skinnier, man. It works for him, and it looks like a modern skinny Charles Barkley. So I'm going to go
pretty
ahead.
Sure it's him.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this is a current video, not an old video, because I feel like if it was an old video, he would be much fatter. They've had a lot of fun with that. They just had, it wasn't the mayor in San Antonio on the pregame show and gave him a bunch of churros and called him a fat ass, I think, on the set.
Well, she didn't call him a fat ass, but she said, we know you're on a diet, but you're not really on a diet.
Here's your churros. Go ahead and eat them. It's a great rivalry. It's one of the underrated parts of the NBA Finals of them being a part of it.
I agree.
It's the most iconic pre-post show you can argue in the history of sports, let alone just the NBA. And they were always on TNT, and their run would come to an end at the conference finals, and they all would go on vacation. And so having them be at the NBA finals is really cool. And it's even better that it's in San Antonio, where he's famously had a lot of fun with the big fat women.
Even if I didn't watch a lot of NBA, what show is even in the running with them?
In terms of like post-game shows?
Pre-post-game shows, what show is in the running with
people
them?
Would probably put, historically speaking, College Game Day in that conversation. Like as
they're
a
not
pre-game.
A post-game.
No, I'm saying if you're saying pre or post, because TNT does pre and post. It's not just a post-game show. They do the pre-game as well.
Yeah.
So Game Day's probably in there. I mean, outside of that, I'm sure there's maybe one old school NFL one that, you know, a Musburger hosted inside the NFL or whatever in the 1980s, well, and everybody loved it.
I think the ratings would maybe actually suggest Game Day here, but like, what show do you think more people would say is the better show, Game Day or Inside the NBA?
Inside the NBA is the better show. More people will watch College Game Day because college football is more popular than the NBA.
Right.
Because I think they average close to 3 or 4 million viewers yeah. a week, which is pretty
insane.
And the
NBA doesn't get that in the regular season.
The NBA is not getting that. They might get it for the finals, obviously, I'm sure. Did we ever get the ratings, by the way, for Game 1?
I didn't see them.
I've been curious to see what the Stanley Cup is, too. I don't know if
the
people
only
are following it, but I hope they are.
An old school NFL primetime with Berman and Tom Jackson.
Oh,
like
yeah.
When they did the highlights.
Yeah.
Oh, NFL primetime?
NFL primetime's a good one. Now, was that technically a post game show, though?
That was a post game show.
It was a post game.
It was technically a post.
But
I didn't remember
doing
where
the pre
aired.
Post thing.
Yeah.
Whereas Inside is a pre and a post.
Pre halftime and post. Yeah,
pre halftime and post.
And Game Day's
right.
just pre. But it's in the conversation as the greatest of all time. It's really cool. I'm at the NBA Finals in San Antonio.
It would just be great to be.
I love the idea of just walking around. You're trying to get some exercise in, and then you're like, dude, I'm lifting a chair right now. Why not?
Well, I was thinking, like, if I was getting old, if I was at Charles Barkley's age and I'm on the road doing a job, I could see myself being him or Ben Stiller in Heavyweights. You devilogue. Just lifting random stuff that I run.
Well, there's
past.
The Riverwalk down there. It's kind of narrow. It's a little tight. There's a lot of low
It does
clearances.
Look a little tight down there.
It's Have you not been to as... the Riverwalk?
Yeah.
I've never been to San Antonio before.
The Pilots played. That's when I went to University of the Incarnate Word. They played in a Thanksgiving tournament.
Cam Ward, shout out.
There at Incarnate Word. We were staying in San Antonio, so. Mm.
It is. It's tiny, but there's like a lot of restaurants.
There's a lot of restaurants down there, yeah. And you can do little. You can rent a little boat or take a float tour or whatever.
Yeah, because that bridge Barclays under is maybe 9 feet high.
Does not look very tall. He's lifting the chair and it's nearly hitting the bridge.
It's cozy.
It's very cozy.
Well, I did find that game one of the Stanley Cup final was the most viewed game since 2019. 5 million viewers for them.
Who was the 2019 Cup?
Oh God, 2019 was that. Boston, San Jose? Am I right there?
Maybe. Damn, San Jose was in the cup in 19 and now the worst team in hockey?
San Jose was in a cup. Yeah, they got there. Who was
No, them? That was St. Louis's.
St. Louis's game seven. That's right. Gloria beating Boston. Yeah. St. Louis over Boston.
The John Hamm Stanley Cup.
The John Hamm Stanley Cup. Game seven with Boston involved. That's a good number. But I'm glad it's nice to see people are watching. I'm sure the NBA final game. I can't find it, but when it comes out, that number is going to be pretty massive for game one.
Yeah, it's not out right now. I did see the cheapest ticket at MSG for game three of the NBA finals right now after that win is $7,500 in section 420.
If you don't
have
you
a seen
ticket,
the pictures, by the way, from section 420?
I have the viewpoint right here.
If you don't have a ticket,
so bad.
You're not getting into that game.
You can't.
Well, why would you spend $8,000 to sit where that? If
I would rather
view.
Just go watch, because I'm sure there would be some watch party outside the arena. Like, just go do that.
I
and
wonder
then if
how many
win,
blocks are going to be.
Yeah.
I'd rather
off.
Watch at my house than.
Well, I would too, but if you're in, if you're like still... jonesing for the fandom and being around people, just watch outside, save the money, and if they win, everybody parties outside
the
stadium.
Is there still that big sports bar in the basement of Madison Square Garden?
I do not know.
I've never been to MSG. I don't know.
I thought there was a sports bar down in the basement.
Yeah, I've been in New York many times, but never been to MSG before. It's on the bucket list.
Buy it.
Yeah, it's been close to it.
But I've never gone to an event there.
It'd be cool to go see a game there.
I'm glad they rebuilt it after Godzilla laid her eggs in there.
I know.
That was devastating for their economy.
Glad they overcame their Nazi rallies in the 30s. People don't forget.
Well.
American history.
Yeah. They have that too.
They got that going for them.
Game two, NBA Finals is tonight.
It is tonight?
Yes.
Are we feeling blowout? Is the vibes for you blowout? Get
I don't
revenge?
Think so.
Not
I don't
at all,
think
dude.
The Knicks, unless the Knicks just go stone cold, everybody goes stone cold shooting threes. I don't. The Knicks are smart enough to be a team that we're like, okay, if my guys aren't hitting threes, we'll find a way to make twos or get to the foul line.
Yeah.
I don't see them getting blown out. Mm. Now, is 10 points? I don't think 10 points or 12 points in the NBA. Blowout is 20 or more.
Well, they were down 14 in game one, and I thought, oh, this is going to go to 20, and then they cut it in, and they hung around.
Yeah.
But
so if somebody ends up losing by 10 or 12, I don't consider that a blowout.
No, I mean, look, there's certainly the capability always, right? Because you get one team who randomly shoots 48% from three in a game, and the other team shoots 17% from three, and it's like that's the only difference in the game. They just couldn't miss and made their open shots, the other team didn't. And that can lead to a blowout. I wasn't of that opinion coming in. I think this is going to be a classic NBA Finals. I love the matchup on both sides. San Antonio is going to fight their way back. I would be surprised if San Antonio Antonio lost tonight.
They're bigger favorites in game two. They're 6.5 point favorites.
Yeah, I just think you're going to get the bounce back effort. I think there's a mentality angle of it, of like there's a little desperation on their side. New York, are they a little fat and happy? Not that it's the NBA Finals. I know that sounds dumb, but like you just get that extra effort from them.
How many more minutes does Dylan Harper get in game two than he got in game one?
Yeah, I mean, he's been awesome for them. I also, like, Wemby had the comments after game one of like, we'll be fine. I just have to, if I play better, we win the game, basically. Which he's, I think Wemby will play better tonight. I think he's capable, and he's shown us that he's capable of that. But on the other side of it, this is the funny thing to me, is like, I thought for three quarters, New York was pretty bad. Not bad's not the right word, but they didn't play a great game. Towns had a good game. Outside, like Hart
was. I thought there was a mixed bag. I thought half of the first quarter they were the better team. I thought,
and then they were down 27-19 at the end of the first quarter.
No, I said half.
Yeah,
I think half of the second quarter, I thought they were the better team.
Right. Then they're down by 14 in the third,
and I thought most of the third, they'd cut into it. They ended up tying the game.
Yeah, when they finally sat Wemby down in the third quarter, they made their run. But they were down by 14, and they basically needed him to go out to launch
him.
My only point is being, I think New York is capable of playing a much better game.
I agree with that, yeah.
You got no points out of Bridges. Brunson couldn't make a shot, essentially, for three quarters. He got hot late, but he was terrible
Hart
in the first three quarters.
Many.
Hart was a great role player, but he didn't score at all for them. Cat had a good game, but he's capable. Cat's capable of better than 17 points. Like he's capable of going out for 25 or 30 knocking down some threes.
The Knicks have a better idea of how to take advantage of when Kornet's in than OKC ever did. And maybe they just have players that are more adept,
better
to
suited
take advantage
to do it. Yeah.
Of it.
Well, I think that's part of the advantage of sweeping your way to the NBA Finals is you got to watch the Western Conference Finals. So you got to see their adjustments to their adjustments to the what could they expose more? What could they do better? What can we do, and how can we do that?
Yeah.
Like, I think that was the advantage New York had, at least going in. I don't know if New York wins tonight or the series, but, yeah, that's an interesting takeaway. I strongly disagree, actually. I thought that game, I know they got down 14. They certainly had their moments that when they weren't playing better and the Spurs were separating, but it just felt like every quarter they were trading who was better.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the fourth, when Wemby went on that mini run.
Yeah, knocked down the
and
three.
And gave them the lead. It was like, oh, and now it's the Spurs' turn. And then how did they finish the game?
Yeah,
Knicks 11-0 run.
Yeah. Right?
So it just became like a big game of runs, and San Antonio had the biggest lead of it all. But
right.
I found game one pretty split, and I kept thinking, like, how does San Antonio change what New York exposed? What do you do today if you're saying, I know we're not coaches here.
Right.
But like the struggle for Mitch Johnson's going to be, I'm not worried about Wemby. I think Wemby can shoot better. But one area I agreed with the TNT postgame show is if he's out at 30 feet, man, even at 7'6 with that wingspan, you can't make up the kind of ground that the Knicks are going to take you to the hoop on.
I think you'll see more off-ball screens to Wemby, like back screens or something to try to get switches when he doesn't have the ball to try to get him cross screen stuff where he's coming
more lower to the hoop, closer to the hoop,
or cut back cutting stuff like that. They need to be a little less stagnant, the guys off the ball. They need to have more motion so the Knicks just can't sit in the gaps and feel like they got everything covered. They need to move guys around a little more on the weak side. I think that's one thing that they can do. I think you will expect them to shoot a little better overall.
That's the other thing, though. That's a funny thing. It's like New York needed two late threes to get to 30% for the game.
Yeah.
If OG and Brunson don't hit those late threes, they shoot like 27% from three. And they're capable of shooting much better than that. San Antonio was at 26% for the game.
We know Wemby can shoot and play much better offensively.
Yes. Yeah.
And Fox was dreadful from the field for them.
I
think he wasn't expecting Cat to take him one-on-one as much as possible. So I think they will have a little better idea of, okay, if Cat's going to D up on him one-on-one, how do we get Cat to move around, or can we get him to switch or something?
See, I'm instantly coming out the gate. You're guarding Hart and you're not guarding Hart. If I'm San Antonio, like, Josh Hart, hit three threes. I dare you.
Yeah.
Like, go
and
ahead.
And if you do, good for you. But we're not guarding you the entire game.
I'm at the other
game.
End. Cat guarding Wemby straight up.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if that really surprised him. They got him into foul trouble. He had four fouls.
Yeah, they eventually got him to four late in the game.
It was late in the game. I think they'll go at him, or they will target things, putting him in actions to see if they can get him in foul trouble earlier.
To me, it's pretty simple. Like, if I'm San Antonio, there's two things I'm looking at. One, Wemby, you're a hell of a player. You're a unicorn. I get it. I don't need you taking 9 3-pointers. That's too many for you. You're a decent 3-point shooter for your size and your ability. You average 5 a game in the regular season.
Yeah.
There's no need to double that up. If you're wide open and nobody's within a
and
know,
I think he needs
10
to
feet,
not,
go ahead, but
he needs to get down the floor earlier and not bring the ball up as much as he likes to bring the ball
up.
Yeah,
like his main strength is when he's around the paint, getting tips, getting dunks, lobs. Like,
go
that's when he's killing you.
Under the hoop and then bring him off of screens out to a wing or something like that. Have some action for him there. Yeah. Try to run Cat or Mitchell or whoever's doing it. Try to run him a little more. Now, the flip side is because we talked about Wemby and fatigue and all of that sort of thing. Does he have the gas tank to do that for 36 minutes? I don't know.
He might run out of gas late. The other thing that I mean, it's not even an X's and O's thing. You just need De'Aaron Fox to play better. He is the guy that you're relying on to be your closer offensively, a guy that, you know, drives everything up. Castle is a very good player, but he's not somebody that scares me a ton offensively at this point in his career. Not that he's capable of having good games. He certainly is. Fox took the second most shots on your team behind Wemby and behind Castle, and he was 3 of 13. He was 0 of 4 from 3. Like, you just, your second best player, who's supposed to be your second best player, has to be better than that in an NBA Finals game. It's not an X's and O's thing. Wemby less threes, Fox has to get it going offensively. And if they do those two things, they'll win the game tonight.
Trying to see. Give me a second here. So we come in Monday and it's 2-0 Knicks.
I would be shocked, is not the right word. Very surprised.
I think you could say shocked if you're very surprised.
Very surprised. I mean, I've seen them win a game, so I can't say it's like, oh my God, how did they win? Like, I've seen them win a game in the finals.
But we expect that kind of player, like the great player that Wemby has already become,
to have a bounce back
effort. To have that bounce back game and that team to play.
And we've seen him already do that in these playoffs.
He's had down moments. They've had bad games, and he's bounced back. And they blew OKC out after losing game 4 or 5 or whatever it was. Went home and they killed them. And so we've seen them turn things around quickly. Yeah, this to me is. But yeah, if New York takes a 2-0 series lead, whoo, buddy, are we having a much different conversation on Monday?
Oh, we're planning the biggest parade in.
Oh, I'm
Manhattan
not going there
history.
At all. I couldn't disagree with you more. You're coming in Monday thinking the series is over if they're up 2-0?
I don't see the Spurs beating them 4 out of 5.
Why? They won 62 games.
I understand that. I just don't think the Knicks are going to have.
I'm not saying it's over. I'm just saying, historically speaking, that's very rare in the NBA.
Oh, it's very difficult.
Has anybody ever come back from down 2-0, losing them both at home? How often does that happen to win
losing
an NBA Finals?
Both at home?
It's one thing to lose them on the road and you come home and you got 3-4 in your pocket.
That.
Cleveland did this in 2016.
Yeah. Were they down 2-0?
They were down 2-0. They won game 3, lost game 4, and then won 5-6-7.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know who else lost the first two at home. Blazers lost the first two in Philly in 77.
Yeah,
and then won 4 in a row. Yeah.
But at home.
But again, you're coming
different.
Home to play game 3 and game 4. So if you don't. The Knicks have already accomplished their goal by getting the split. That's what they wanted out of this. Hmm. And if you take a 2-0 series lead, it's not over. You never say over. You still got 4 more games, 5 more games to go in the series, potentially. But, yeah, that's a massive uphill climb for a very young basketball team who's never been here before.
So Game 2 NBA Finals tonight. Looking forward to it. Have a little bit more on this in the final hour. But Game 1 was great. We still have Game 2 will deliver. The Stanley Cup delivered in Game 2 and Game 1. So we'll see if the Finals can keep up with that. A lot to get to in the second hour. Coming up next, how to feel. How should we feel? That's next on The Fan.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. To find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, just a banger.
Pre-Nazi Kanye, pretty good.
Oh, breaks my heart. You ever see an ex and you find out they're like a crystal in the crystal meth and you're like, oh. That person was so nice at one point.
What happened to you? It was great.
I loved her.
You were a wonderful person.
And now she's doing the
now you have no teeth. You got no teeth. You're walking like a zombie in the streets, man.
That's tough. But he's back. He apologized.
That's right. He's not a Nazi anymore.
He definitely is not doing it to make hundreds of millions of dollars because he's been broke. But
he does not have concerts coming up internationally speaking in the coming months. Not at all.
So a lot of business going on in the world of college football.
Mm-hmm.
And something came out. Yes, I was very confused. So Bill Orem reported that Oregon State was zeroing in on a gal from somewhere.
Yes.
Lili Loon. And it just happened to pop up in the weird algorithm timeline. But this was after we had seen Oregon State announce the AD hire. Yeah. So Orem, 40 minutes before they announced it, said three sources told him that was the person.
She was, yeah.
And then 40 minutes after he puts that out, they hire Kevin Griffin, who, as everybody has noted, including we did on the show, is Archie Griffin's nephew.
Yes.
Now, I read a few things about this cat. Mm-hmm. I saw the Murphy quotes. I guess what I would ask you is just like, how are we supposed to feel about this? I find it odd that people are like celebrating. You can't really dunk on it.
It's, no.
But also,
nobody
like,
has any idea how it's going to work
he's
out.
He's in charge of branding at Ohio State.
It's a pretty easy job.
Sounds hard.
It's a pretty easy job.
He raised money. Sounds hard. I don't know how to feel about this.
It's Ohio State.
He's also Archie Griffin's nephew. So.
Which is pretty damn cool, man. The only back-to-back Heisman winner or two-time Heisman winner in college football history.
I think I'm kind of poo-pooing in a weird way. Like, it's not that he didn't, I guess, earn his way to the what he was doing at Ohio State, though many would say he had to just get the start.
Sure.
But I'm not, like, anti it. I just don't know if I'm supposed to feel excited. All of Murphy's quotes make it seem like this is more about fundraising than it is anything athletics scheduling and whatnot related. We just hired two coaches. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to fire them after a year.
No.
So how are we supposed to feel about the new AD hired Oregon State?
I would say at least better than the last one you made, because this guy at least doesn't have any really bad hires in his hip pocket, and the last one you hired had some pretty bad hires in his hip pocket.
This one also has no athletic director.
So it's, you know, it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
The experience wasn't great for Barnes because he crippled Pitt's basketball program, and Pitt fans will forever hate him for it, and you guys hired him anyways. It was a fun look back on memory lane of how detrimental Ed Ray was to the longevity of the Pac-12. He was a staunch ally of Larry Scott, the hiring of Scott Barnes, like just had multiple pistols in each holster and took him out repeatedly and shot himself in the foot every other day just to feel something. In terms of like, will it work out or is it a good, who the hell knows, dude? This guy's never actually been an athletic director before. What I will say is, I do think the primary focus of Oregon State, I mean, you just hired two new coaches. And I'm imagining, no matter how their years go next year, there's going to be a little bit of a runway there. It's not just going to be a one and done, even if they disappoint. So you're a couple of years away from needing the two most important coaches to return. Your most successful program has a legacy and a champion as the coach, and he's not going anywhere, despite social media comments from time to time being against him. So there's not really any big coaching moves that need to happen anytime soon. The primary focus of everything athletically for you is one thing and one thing only. Who can raise money? And that's it. And so if you're telling me this guy has a background of doing that, I'm with you 100%. It's Ohio State. How hard could that job be? Mm-hmm. But that's what they're touting, and that's desperately what they need. Dollars and cents is what wins you in college athletics nowadays. You're not going to need to make a new hire anytime soon, so let's go out, beat the pavement, and get those checks coming in, because that's the only thing that gives you a little bit of hope, I think, as a Beaver fan.
Well, even his title is interesting.
It is.
That's why I was confused when Swag had said it. And I know he is technically what they would call the AD, but his title is Vice President and Director of Intercollegiate Athletics.
It's like how we went from program directors to brand managers.
Well, no, if you go look at, he's Vice President in the university, and then he is the Director of Athletics.
He's the Vice President of the university?
Most athletic directors, if you go look at they're a Vice President of the university, Director of Intercollegiate Athletics.
Well, it was more, I guess it just seemed like they're very, I feel like they're taking this, not a weird way, but they're more morphing what the job is kind of entailing. Does that make sense? It feels like he's coming in and he's not doing traditional AD-esque stuff. Because what is he to do? He's got to replace, I guess, a golf coach now.
Sure, but yeah, in terms of things people care about or pay attention to, there's nothing on your plate anytime soon.
But Murphy kept relating to the fundraising part of this and what he did at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, Scott Barnes is still around, dude.
Yeah, his date's going to move up. So he was supposed to be around until August as the AD, but now obviously they made the hire. So the day after this guy becomes official,
he will
step down.
But isn't he still around for another year?
He's sticking around until 2027 as a senior advisor or whatever the terminology
is. Do we think the guy that stepped aside and brought in a new guy is not having any say or sway?
Well, again, what is there to have say or sway in, I guess is my question.
I think it's more...
Who's hiring the golf coach?
Introductory stuff.
I would hope the new AD, but yeah, I would hope the new AD.
So we'll see. Maybe he's just going to...
I know Scott Barnes was an idiot and he wasn't very good at his job. He was also dealt a pretty bad hand. And I don't mind having the guy...
I think there's elements of Scott Barnes that are very fair criticisms. And I think there's weird elements of... And I said this when they made both. How are we going to think and talk about Scott Barnes if Shepard and Joyner are good?
Yes. Then we'll criticize the new AD if they leave because he couldn't keep them.
That's why he's got to raise money.
What the hell? This guy just barks, made great hires. They walk right out the door. That's why fundraising is.
But
I also don't mind having the guy.
The previous?
But just like it's a year. Like, is he really? I don't think he's going to be making decisions.
No,
I think he's there collecting a check, which is you can criticize the university for still wanting to pay him. And that's fair when budgets are a massive issue on every college campus.
Mm-hmm.
But having somebody who's been through it and knows the ins and outs of the dealings of the, the boosters and the alumni and what works. Like, hey, man, how did you handle this guy when you asked him to write a check? Like, I don't mind having that guy stick around.
Well, so this is the Beaver Athletic page. When they tweeted it out, this is their tweet. A leader with a track record in business strategy, revenue generation, and marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's the job now.
That's what you need.
Think the programs themselves, have a lot of, they usually know how to do the scheduling and all of those sorts of things. There's usually one assistant coach that, is in charge of more of the scheduling, those sorts of things.
Most of that stuff is kind of covered for them, though, in the immediate future.
Yeah.
I mean, how many open dates does Oregon State even have?
They just scheduled
the open
dates up with Oregon.
Even baseball and basketball and the other sports, those sorts of things.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're going back to the ones that people follow closely. Their future schedules, it's all set. Obviously, this year, next year's set, 2028 set, 2029 set. You're going to need a non-conference game in 2030 and 2031 unless you add another conference opponent or the Pac-12 expands.
You can
have
wait
another
on that,
game,
though. You don't have to
But you can wait.
Dive
so
right
your
in.
Schedule is set for another 4 years. So there's nothing on that front.
No, and they need him to set up.
You need this guy out of beating pavement and knocking
beating
on doors and making money in the program.
Well, as well to put an infrastructure together so you don't have another blueprint scenario.
Yeah.
Well, but
and obviously if he saw the inner workings of one of the most developed athletic programs in the entire country in Ohio State and understands what are the key functions, hires that would be internal to help with the fundraising, or we've talked about how poor the in-game presentations are for Beaver football, not using all of the, all the current video tools and all that sort of stuff to get your message out, your presentation.
Can we live stream a press conference? Can we start there?
So, yeah.
Get a camera set up when they're on the road so you can hear what the coach says.
If he was integral, and I don't know if he was or wasn't, but if he was integral in helping put the infrastructure of the athletic department together and what the critical roles are in a modern athletic department. Now, obviously, he's not going to have the resources, so he's got to find people that can do the functions of three different jobs he probably had, people that were doing stuff at Ohio State.
Sure.
But if they can put something together where it's functioning smoothly and they're covering all their bases moving forward, then, okay, let the coaches and the department, let the teams figure out their own stuff. I'll support you.
Yeah.
But you guys know how to run the team and the sport. Let's go.
So they had the blueprint thing happen, and then they pivoted out because they got exposed for it.
They did. Everything that was exposed was true, even though they denied it, and then they backed out of the deal.
But they did end up getting that random couple. Remember, they had the donation of like, we'll donate this if we can match this.
Yeah.
And so it's like, their media rights deal is going to be terrible
it's
in the financial sense. I think the exposure is fine. It's good enough.
It's on channels people get. You can watch. It's not behind a paywall. All of that's successful.
It's not a streamer only, right? So, like, I think they have one Mountain West Plus game.
But that's a road game. They don't have control over that.
There's a Mountain West Plus game in football?
Yeah.
Really?
I asked Swag.
What is
about
Mountain
this.
West Plus?
He says it's their app.
Oh, okay.
That's going to suck.
It's like that ESPN really Plus. Sucks. It's just their own thing.
ESPN Plus sucks. Hate to tell you that.
I mean, am I going to be able to watch the Duck baseball game this weekend, or am I going to get the USC game instead when I click on Oregon and Texas? Because I will have a bit of an issue with that as well.
Well, but like that is something that's interesting to think about, too.
It's their UTEP game is Mount
UTEP,
West Plus.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, so I'm already not excited about it. Now it's like I got to go to Mount West Plus.
On the road at UTEP.
He got out of the blueprint thing mainly because of the pressure and the backlash of it. But it's not like he didn't walk away with that couple committing that many millions of dollars.
Yeah, and so, it's a match thing, so they're hoping to drive more donations because of it.
You just keep driving and driving and driving to get it, and then you figure out your schedule stuff, I guess, down the road. I just more like didn't know how to feel about it. It's not like it's like the Blazer coaching gig.
Yeah, there's not a hot take to have. You just wait and see. You hope it's the right hire. That's all you can do.
Mike and Nori, if it's Splitter, like, I'm going to be honest with you, there's not going to be a grandiose take. If it's Splitter, it's going to be more about, but I was told that he would never take this job, and it was only $1 million. And like, how do you walk your comments back at that point?
Right.
That would be my viewpoint of it. But overall, it's like, what's the roster? And similar thing here is just like, there's no real big hire. You got to replace the golf coach now.
Mm-hmm.
Ruick is intact. Joyner's there. Shepard's there. Like, I don't really know. Should I be excited about this? Should it not really register much because I don't know what he's really supposed to do for the first handful of years? It's just a weird thing. I went home and I read about him a little bit at a few websites, and I was just like, yeah, okay. They got a new athletic director.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing you're going to need early in order for him to have success, nothing drives donations and interest in programs like winning. And if you find a way to have a year in football and basketball this year where, you know, I throw a number at you. You go 8-4.
8-4 is a great year for them.
Or you win 24 games in college basketball with your first year head coaches. And you can turn around and say, see, we made the right hires. We're back in a conference. There's a pathway. And you could sell that to people to get them excited again.
Yep.
That's going to make his job exponentially easier. It's really hard to gauge these things. If your football team flops and you win two games again and you're blowing leads and you can't execute a field goal or a punt, what is the desire for any alumni base to donate money to that?
Yeah.
What am I flushing my money down the toilet for? Yep. Same with basketball. You win five games next year in a little conference and you're not competitive. Nobody's going to be tripping over themselves to reach for their wallet in order to throw money at you. So he's almost, it's almost out of his control. He needs these programs to be successful and then his job becomes easier. But there's not a takeaway here. It's just simply, you cross your fingers and you hope that this guy knows what he's doing, because that's the only reaction we can have. Remember when we hired George Kliavkov to be the new commissioner?
Oh,
this is awesome, dude. He was behind the MLB at bat.
I love
this. He's from Vegas. He's an outsider. He's worked with casinos.
Stupid take.
This guy's not a college football guy. He's out, so he's going to bring a new vision, and it crumbled. So none of us have any idea. There were a moment in time, you go back 10, 12 years ago, when Oregon was going through their coaching changes in football and they couldn't find a guy that would stick, firing Helfrich, Taggart leaves. Their softball program had become very successful, and then their coach left for Texas.
Yeah.
And there was a moment where Rob Mullins was like, this guy sucks. And now how does everybody feel about Rob Mullins?
One of the best.
Right? Now it's the Dane Altman thing's a bit of an issue, but your baseball team's great. Your football team's at the top of the – near the top of the sport. Like, the opinion has changed. And so nobody has any clue how these will work out. He desperately needs good seasons next year. If he has good seasons next year, maybe you get some of these people to open up their wallets.
Colin Wilson is going to join us coming up at 8 a.m. We'll ask him about the Ducks going to Texas for their Super Regional. Dirt and Sprague, 740, back with more on The Fan.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Our great friend from the Action Network is going to join us at the top of the hour. And he's a big college baseball guy. He's in Arkansas.
His Razorbacks are out. They did not make it.
No.
To the Supers.
They did not get to the Supers. They came up short. Wu Pig Sui, not this year.
No.
But he follows the tournament really well. He's a lot of fun to talk to. And the good thing about him is he works at the Action Network, so we can talk college football.
Yes, we can.
So he'll join us coming up at 8 a.m. Want to remind you that the Fan Golf Classic is sold out.
What?
The one that's presented by Toyota.
What?
And has been sold out for some time now.
What? Here we go, man. Here we go.
So no Matt's Barbecue for some of you.
No.
No,
you
Angels
didn't sign up in time.
Envy infamous hole six for you.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to learn from our mistakes, okay? Life is about growth and learning from missteps. And if you didn't get in time this year, let's take a moment, process it, look in the mirror, and realize next year.
Not trying to be a chotch.
Don't be a chotch. Sign up on time, okay?
I did tell the brand man, hey, we're bringing a kit just in case Giannis is traded to Portland that day and we can do an emergency.
I did not realize it's the actual day of the NBA draft,
yeah.
He said. I did not realize that was the day.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
We don't have a first-round pick, so who cares? But
if
that trade happens,
Giannis,
then yeah.
We're trying to figure out if there's power anywhere near hole six, because that would be, I think, the best thing is to have all of us there.
We'll all already be there.
And we share the microphone.
Rotating around. You take an hour, I take an hour. We just kind of different hosts talking to each other. It would be fantastic.
Oh, see, I was thinking like a more general round table.
Oh, I think we only have the capability for three headsets with our equipment.
Well, do we have two headsets or do we have a microphone we can pass?
I think there's like only so many things we can
you
plug in.
You do have a microphone you can pass. Somebody needs a headset to actually listen to what's going on and coming back from commercials. One person needs a headset.
How many mics can we plug in at one time?
For sure three. There might be a way to get four. Yeah. I can't remember.
Well, we know Danny's going to take one. So who are the other two, huh?
Who could it be?
The hot takes on Giannis.
We've got Rochambeau for the second and third mic.
A special thank you to the sponsors for this year's tournament. Victor Rico's is back, so the burritos will be back as well. I'm excited about that.
I'm going to grab three of them.
Matt's Barbecue will be feeding us post-round. And thank you to Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, Laura Horse Market, Steakhouse and Butcher Shop, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Ely Galmez, Cow, Pub Beer, Cheap Fun, Apex Golf Club, and Window Nation. We look forward to seeing everybody out at the 12th Annual Fan Golf Classic. I almost got hit yesterday at a roundabout. I was driving.
Did somebody not slow down?
Oh, yeah. It was some psycho in a Cybertruck.
Ooh, Cybertruck.
Oh, no.
Dude. Trust those people.
Somebody has a really funny video, and it's a group of men, and it's just like seven different versions of men, and they look like they're in a small like church of rows of chairs, and they're doing these weird dances, and they're like guys who own Cybertrucks. And the thing about the Cybertruck is like, so I'm at a roundabout, I'm not going very fast, it's swerving into my lane, and then it's swerving because it's almost hitting me. The truck is shaking back. It just doesn't look like a fun. It's an ugly-ass car, first of all.
Yes, it is.
It doesn't in any way look like a real logical vehicle. Like, why would you use that instead of just
I don't get it.
A real truck?
Just buy a truck. They have electrical trucks, too, that you can buy.
The Rivian is infinitely better.
Yes, it is.
And it just looks like a pain in the ass to drive. It's a big, long, square
shoebox. It's a big box.
It's a big box.
Big box. Horrible. Nobody wants that.
It's awful.
Can I, are you guys pro roundabouts? I understand why they exist. I get the idea of them.
The bigger
people
ones
get so confused going into roundabouts.
Small ones so in many a neighborhood are a pain in the butt. If they're too tight,
what lane do I need to be in? Because this lane turns right, this lane doesn't go around, and then you get people
ones,
wanting to turn
like
right
if you're
in the
on
left
a
lane.
Main road, and it's a big one, and there's signs, and you know what's coming up. Those tend to work out better because traffic can flow better. But if you're in a little neighborhood and they put a roundabout rather than a four-way stop, sometimes it gets bogged down more than the four-way stop.
Would you rather have the roundabout in your neighborhood or annoying speed bumps?
Annoying speed bumps.
Yeah, okay.
I would take the speed bump over that.
Over the roundabout.
Because we all know how to do the speed bump.
Some people don't.
Well, some people might go faster over them than others. Yeah. That's fine. But that's, you're just going to screw up your own car. You're not impacting my day by doing that. People, I think there's genuinely 25% of the population that does not understand how a roundabout works. And I don't blame some of them. Like, if you're coming to a roundabout and you've never gone through that roundabout before and you don't know, does this, you know.
No, the
like,
ones
it can
that
get
annoy
confusing.
Me are the
I get
people that.
That
flat out stop. At before the roundabout.
Well, you have to yield to the oncoming traffic.
I understand you have to yield, and if there's a car there, but there's others that I've come across very recently that they just stop. And well, I'm like, what are you doing?
Go. Drive.
Yes.
Drive. Drive. You can go. There's a lane here.
In Park Rose, we didn't have roundabouts.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I took my very first permit test, my uncle just took me to the DMV. I was 15. He was going to California. He asked if I wanted to drive. I was like, I don't have my permit. He's like, oh, well, let's go get it. And I was like, okay. I'd never read the book. The question I lost the permit test on, because I failed my permit test.
Yeah.
The question that I ended up getting the fail on is, what direction do you go on a roundabout? And I went, what the hell is a roundabout? And I
you said
left. I was like, what is a roundabout? And my
what
uncle.
What direction do I go?
Yeah, what direction
I
do
go
you
in a
go?
Circle. Yeah. That's what I do in a roundabout.
It's a stupid
Dude,
question.
I had never seen a roundabout.
That's a dumb
didn't
question.
I have a roundabout at Park Rose.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm not paying attention half the time in the car. My uncle goes, what question did you just fail on? And I go, well, I failed the fire truck distance question. Yeah. He goes, no, what was the last question you failed? And I said, what direction do you go in a roundabout?
Counterclockwise.
And he goes, how did you, what direction did you think? And I said, I didn't know what a roundabout was, so I rode left.
Left, go left.
He goes, you idiot.
You in Europe? What the hell's the matter with
so
you,
So I didn't
man?
Get to drive at all to California.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, there's one, whenever we go to our in-laws, there's one on 39th and I can't remember what the cross street is, but there's a big one, there's a gold statue of somebody in
you
the middle
Cesar
of it.
You mean Cesar Chavez Boulevard?
I don't know. Is it, I guess, technically still Cesar Chavez?
They we haven't need to taken those signs down yet.
Let's handle the big important things here. We need to rename that before we lose our NBA team, okay? Make sure we're focused on the priorities that really impact people's lives.
Yes.
Because nobody can drive on that road anymore. And you go down 39th, and yeah, it is. I swear, every time we go to my, every time
the
we go
big
to my,
one, right?
The big one,
yeah, the
and
big
there's
one, yeah.
there's three or four cars every time that don't know where they're supposed to be.
That
oh,
is
crap,
a hellscape.
I need to get over here, and you're like, "Are you going to run into me?" And it's just this unmitigated chaos.
It
every
feels
single time.
Like watching bumper cars of people who don't want to hit each other.
Yes, yes,
they're doing what they can.
And then there's the panic of, "Oh God, I needed to go right there, but the lane goes all the way around,
so
and I wasn't in the right lane. Now I got to just
round and around."
Yeah, I'm anti roundabout. Get rid of them.
All right, are you anti roundabout? I guess we could ask that question.
Poll question of the day.
I did not get to, damn it, I didn't get what I wanted to get to today.
Too much 82-0, man. It distracted us.
You ever read the comment sections of OPB when they talk about funding for arenas?
I don't read comment sections on anything. I can't do it.
I don't know if there's a more different human being that exists.
It's a much different demographic than the ones that are in our circles.
I don't know a single thought. I'm just like, well, I'm a single
soul. I'm one. I'd like to keep our NBA team, please. I'd like to. We own the building, and, you know.
We'll get to that at a different point.
I'm sure the billions we'll throw at the homeless issue next year will solve the problem.
We'll get it next time.
Next time. Now's the time we come up with the solution.
Let's talk with Colin Wilson. Oregon's going to Austin, Texas. Super Regionals, they kick off tonight, or is it tomorrow for Oregon?
Tomorrow.
Texas?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Right. Tomorrow and Sunday, both on ESPN.
There you go. Well, or
ESPN News.
Are we not?
Are we the home of the Ducks?
Are we not?
910 ESPN.
Oh,
hey!
There you go.
That's
hey,
what we were looking
there you
for.
Go. Yeah, Colin Wilson, Action Network, hour number three, joins us on The Fan.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.